Greetings and blessings to all of you this morning as we continue our worship service, and Happy New Year as well. You've heard it numerous times, but it's okay. And I didn't even notice in the bulletin that it still was last year. We're a year behind, but anyway. Overall, I think it's probably, looking back, I don't know what your perspective is on last year, of how the year treated you, or you treated the year, of things that happened. I know for numerous things happened to different people, and so overall, I believe it was a good year, and yet I know that for many, there were things that happened, whether it was health, death, or other issues that make you ponder and maybe made you think a little more seriously about life, and so on. And I'm grateful that we have another new year. And if things went from bad to worse, as Atlee was talking about, we've all had those. I have those days too. I forget what I forget. So that's getting pretty bad. Anyway, but still we can say, at the end of the day, we can say God is good, and God has been good to us. And He has given us so much more than we deserve. And so I want to remind us and simply encourage us this morning to, as we begin this new year, and as Curtis alluded to, resolutions and so on, and I'm not going to talk about that necessarily, but I think it is a good time. You know, it's always a good time, and it doesn't matter if it's January 1 or if it's December 31st. It's always a good time if you feel the need to make a change or make something, do something different or new that's better to help you spiritually. It's never wrong to do that. You need to do it whenever. Doesn't matter. Don't wait till January 1 because it might not come. But thinking of a new year, a new beginning, again, it is a good time. It's a good opportunity to, you know what, last year I didn't do so well in prayer life, in reading God's Word, in witnessing, or whatever it is, taking time for the family and so on. So maybe you want to, and it doesn't have to be today, but I think today would be a good day to say, okay, I'm going to resolve to do, and you fill in the blank, of doing better in those things. God will honor you. And as Curtis said, you may not do it perfectly. You may fail many times. Probably you will as human. But you strive toward that. So this morning, I've been thinking for the last several weeks. In fact, I was going to give the song out a time or two, and then there wasn't time, or the songs kept coming, and so I didn't, and it's fine. But it's a song that I think is a good song to look at, to think about. The theme of the song, of what it relates to in beginning the new year. And it's verse 2 in the Faith and Praise. And Brian will sing that as our closing song, if you would. And it's, "We praise Thee, O God." And as I thought of that, and as I look at the words, the stanzas of what the writer, and then I was like, I'd like to find out what was the writer. It's William P. McKay that wrote the words back in 1863. And so I Googled trying to find out a little information of what was he facing, what inspired him, and I never did find anything much. I found a little history on him. He was born in 1839 in Montrose, is all it said. I'm guessing England, because he was educated in the University of Edinburgh. I think that's England, but I might be wrong. Anyway, He was in medicine for a short time and then became a minister of Prospect Street Presbyterian Church in 1868, I believe it was. And then he died from an accident in 1885. So he was a relatively young man. And especially when he wrote these words, he would have been quite young. But this song is, it showed in, and I didn't count the different languages it was translated into, but it was a whole list of them. And it's in like 1,190 different hymnals. So it's a very popular song. It's a very good song, a very fitting song. And just in reflecting on trying to reflect and picture maybe where he was coming from and how his heart was full of simply bursting of praising God. And before I go on, welcome to Francis. Good to see you here. And Michelle as well. I'm going to read the stanzas and just listen. They're very familiar. We've sung this song thousands of times, I suppose. But it somehow has just got a hold of me a little bit more in the last while. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. All glory and praise to the God of all grace, who has brought us, who has bought us and sought us and guided our ways. Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love, may each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. I've titled this, Revive Us Again. And I hope that as you reflect on these words and as we go through this, that you'll be encouraged to allow God to revive us and to refresh us in our Christian experience. The scripture that this song is taken from is Psalm 85 and verse 6. But I'm going to read the whole psalm. It's 13 verses. Not really going to talk about them necessarily, except I will come back to verse 6 numerous times. Psalm 85. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. It's a prayer that the psalmist prayed to God again and showing again his gratefulness to God for looking after and not consuming them according to his righteousness, but forgiving them through his mercy. And so verse 6 stands out. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. And then looking at these first four stanzas of this song, it talks about the praise to God for the different things that he does. And it really explains the plan of salvation through that. The son of thy love, for Jesus who came and is now gone above, and for the spirit of light who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. And so we praise the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. And then to the God, we praise the God of all grace, who has bought us and sought us and guided our ways. And then revive us. So I want to look at a few things, verses. When we think of praise and glory, it does... Not only does God love to hear the praise from his people, but it does us as the individuals doing the praising, it does us good as well. I know that every day you don't probably feel like singing. I know there are days that I don't feel like singing. And then there are other days that, depending what I hear, it just lifts my spirit and I want to sing along with it. And with what I hear. And so it does something for my spirit. It lifts my spirit when I, because I think part of it is it draws the attention away from my little world that I'm in, and it draws my attention to God, who is really over all, and he's taking care of me, and he's providing and caring. And again, it puts my focus on the right place of where my strength and my blessing really comes from, and it's from God. And so I picture this as William, as he wrote these words, his heart is overflowing with praise. And just the simple way that he expresses his gratitude to God for what God has done. And so if you look through the Bible, it's everywhere, and especially in Revelation, and I have five different places I just want to look at, or actually four, that I picked out. I'm sure there's more. But wherever the saints or the angels were gathered around the throne, or where God was, or Jesus the Lamb was, there was always praising. That's all it took place, seemed like, was just praising and worshiping God. And so I realize we live in our human form on this sin-cursed earth. And so our thoughts aren't always there. And we're distracted from thinking about God all the time in that respect. And so it's different than, but I think it gives us a picture of what heaven is like and what it will be there when we get there, and that will be the main theme. I thought about, because mostly John referred to different, he saw different parts of heaven and tried to describe it,